Caroline, Willie, D-Maze, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, and The Game Nashville app. We are live from the Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Game Studios, streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live every single day. Our video streaming is brought to you by Superbook Sports. Joining us now, TD Teron Davenport. TD, the report coming out last week on the Move the Sticks podcast, Daniel Jeremiah said don't sleep on the Titans at 11 to potentially move up to the third overall pick. That's kind of what he had been hearing around GM spaces around the NFL. What have you heard about that, if anything, and your initial reaction to the Titans potentially being in play for the number three overall pick?
Yeah, I haven't had anything, you know, come across me directly supporting that. But this is the time where you know that rumors always fly. And if you go back and listen to what Jeremiah said, it wasn't necessarily saying that's something that for sure is in the works. It was just, hey, this is a team that could be one of the favorite ones to move up and make the trade. So I don't think, you know, it's something that just kind of like, fully say, hey, this is what's floating. It's an idea in essence. So that's my take on that.
Yeah, I don't think it's a bad idea around draft time. Like you said, it is rumor city around these parts. But I looked at it like if the Titans, let's say they do ultimately decide to trade up to number three, it's more than likely that C.J. Stroud and Bryce Young will be off the board, leaving Will Levis and Anthony Richardson left to be available at number three. Now, you were on Stillman and Company last week talking about Anthony Richardson's upside. If the Titans did decide to take Anthony Richardson, if they do decide to trade up to number three, what would the Titans be getting in Anthony Richardson?
Well, I think you're getting a guy with very inexperienced, but a wide assortment of tools that you could really work with. And there's a lot to like about him, especially his downfield passing, but his ability to go off schedule, how he could create. And it just adds another element that defenses have to be concerned about. Now, all of that is on the good side of things, whereas it's if you could really harness that and get that to happen more often. That's the critical part of it. So they have to be able to do that. And, I mean, obviously there are some things with the accuracy and the touch that they stand to be improved. But, you know, a lot of that is mechanics and just better understanding of other positions. So I think that, you know, he can make that happen. It's just a matter of falling in the right place.
Now, TD, we're talking about Teron Davenport. Now, TD, looking at potentially if the Titans do move up to that number three spot. And I think the curveball would be, listen, if Carolina drafts, you know, Anthony Richardson number one, and I think that throws a curveball, and I think you really are in a position to get possibly your day one starter in Stroud or Bryce Young. But even with that, do you think moving to that number three, and say if they land on Anthony Richardson, because I think what is starting to happen is Richardson is starting to become that clear-cut third quarterback. If not, he may jump to the number one, depending on how Carolina looks at it. But if you take a Anthony Richardson with the third pick, do you make it known to everybody that he's sitting the first year, no matter what? Because you still have Ryan Tannehill under contract.
Yeah, I think you do make that known and you establish that expectation from the jump, but you got to stick to it. Because that's basically what the Titans did last year with Malik Willis. Hey, it's going to be a developmental process. But then it was expedited when Tannehill got hurt, and obviously Logan Woodside wasn't in the mix. And, you know, next thing you know, Willis is starting against the Chiefs. He's starting against the Texans. And it wasn't really fair to him. So I think in order to allow that development process to take place correctly, you do need to make sure that you set the expectation, set the precedent, and you stick to it. So, yeah, absolutely.
Now, if they choose not to move up to that third spot and say, you know, draft day, they're at number 11, do you expect them to keep that pick or to move down? Because even though, to me, I don't think they need a front seven guy, because Carolina and I talked about Will Anderson, if he possibly falls, But to them, I think they believe they have their starters in the guys that they went out and got. They believe they are true starters if given an opportunity. And obviously, they're going to give them an opportunity to be that. But do you think at that 11th pick, if indeed they keep it and it gets to them, that they move down in the draft? Because they are in need of a receiver, but I can't see them taking a receiver that high.
Yeah, I think it would be smart to move down. But one of the things you have coming out, right, Drew Rosenhaus isn't allowing Jalen Carter to meet with any teams outside of the top 10. Now, that hurts the Titans, because now what happens if there's a team at 17 or 16 or whatever that has interest in Carter and they want to move up, but they don't get to meet with him? Do they still make that move to move up? I don't know. So that's something. But I do think that if there's a player there that drops, and, you know, with four quarterbacks possibly going in the top 10, that could cause a player that wouldn't normally be there to drop. And I think that would allow the Titans to be in a prime position to trade back. And then you have your Quentin Johnstons, your Jordan Addisons, your Zay Flowers. Those types are all in play at a later pick in that first round.
How critical do you think the Titans believe the offensive line is for them to sort of, you know, build up? Because what we've seen in the offseason, it seems like they have addressed some of the problems on the offensive line, and I do believe they think they have their starter at left tackle in Andre Dillard. But headed into the draft, do you think that's going to continue to be an important thing for them to do, to go out and get an offensive lineman early in the draft?
Yeah, I think if you look at that pick 11, if Paris Johnson is the top player there, I think they would take him. And we got to sit down with Rand Carthon at the owners' meetings, and Paul Kaharski, PK, asked him about the Dillard signing. Would that make them not draft a tackle? And he was like, man, look, you know, you can have four tackles, and every year you have teams who are looking for tackles. So now you put yourself, in essence, what he's saying is you put yourself in a situation where you could trade from abundance. You could take advantage of another team's misfortune if something should happen. So I definitely think that if some of these guys, you know, whether it's Broderick Jones, Paris Johnson, Peter Skoronski, one of those types, if they're there and they're the top guy on the board, I think they're going to take them. What they did, though, by signing the Andre Dillard, by bringing in Daniel Brunskill to take over at right guard, and then even, you know, re-signing Corey Levin to go with Aaron Brewer to give some depth there in the interior part of it, they set themselves up to where they don't have to reach for a pick. And you saw what happens when you reach for a player, and look at what the Titans did with Isaiah Wilson a couple of years ago. So I think that was the good positioning part of it. But to answer your question, if the tackle's the top guy, then, yeah, they'll take him.
And I was going to ask you about the Corey Levin signing. Because they did that sort of over the weekend, and it sort of missed sort of like the news loop when you do it during the weekend. But to you, he is more of a depth piece rather than a guy that's going to compete at that guard or center position.
I think he's going to compete at that guard or that center position, rather. And you look, when Ben Jones went down, he was the one to come in, or even, and we're talking about for a full game, but even, you know, in different reps, you know, snaps when he went down, Levin was the guy to come in. So I think you look at that and you have to consider him as someone that's going to be in the mix. And I thought it was a good signing. I was confused as to why they didn't do that initially. And you could always use depth there. And he's a guy that's been with the team before, so he knows the scheme, and everything should work out from that perspective.
TD is with us, Teron Davenport. TD, I know that the Jeffrey Simmons contract negotiations have kind of gotten swept under the news of free agency and leading up to the draft, but I was looking through Jeffrey Simmons' Twitter, since he is back on Twitter, and I always wonder, am I looking into this too much, or is this actually something? I saw Jeffrey Simmons liked a tweet from A.J. Brown that said, "Stop thinking everyone is your friend." Have you heard anything recently about the Jeffrey Simmons contract negotiations?
Yeah, I mean, it's still ongoing, and it's something that, you know, both sides, they feel, you know, there's reason to get a deal done. You got to look, right? You have other things that's happening, right? You got Quinnen Williams, you got Dexter Lawrence. These guys are about to get deals, too. It's a kind of, I don't want to call it a race, but it's like there's three deals going at once, and whichever deal goes first sets the floor for the next one. So I think that gives the Titans incentive to, you know, get a deal done, but they're continuing to negotiate, and it's a process. I do know that there's no frustration or anything like that on Simmons' part, and that liking that tweet, I think we got to, you know, kind of scale it back and, hey, look, man, like there's more to these guys than just football, you know, and sometimes, like, I'll just like something. Not that I agree with it. I'll just like it just to note it. You know, like there's just different reasons why you like different things on Twitter. And I think, you know, everything is not going to, for Simmons, is not going to be directed towards that contract negotiation process.
We're talking to Teron Davenport. Teron, greetings from Dallas. Jerry Jones and Jacob DeGrom both told me to tell you hello. Actually, mm-hmm. I haven't talked to either one of those guys, but I just wanted to give you the Dallas flavor here. But I know you do the extensive work on the draft. As you continue to do your homework on this and learn more about some of these players and watch more tape, what themes are coming alive for you? I know we're focused so much on what the Titans are going to do at the 11th pick, but this is such an important draft. They need depth. They have holes to fill. What position groups are jumping out at you? What matchups do you think you're seeing with the roster needs and, you know, where the strength of this draft is?
Yeah, I think obviously receiver is an area that they have to address, and it's pretty deep there. I know, you know, Tyler Scott out of Cincinnati is a guy that has drawn interest. You got Jonathan Mingo, who came through here for a visit. There's a bunch of receivers out there that you could choose from, Josh Downs, so that's good. There's depth there. I think you look at tight end, it's still one that, even though they signed Trevon Wesco, who was a very good blocking option for them, inline player, they still could benefit from adding another one. And there's a bunch of guys in this draft that you could, you know, do that with. And then I think interior offensive lineman is obviously the left guard spot. It's something that they have to look at, whether it's going to be Aaron Brewer or Corey Levin or whoever, how that works. I think you do need to get somebody to come in and compete there. So that's another position where it goes pretty deep. I mean, there's, you know, all the way into day three, guys that you could draft that could help out. So I think those main positions, and believe it or not, cornerback, you talk about that 11th pick and four quarterbacks possibly going in the top 10, that could push a Devin Witherspoon, a Christian Gonzalez down. I think Gonzalez goes to the Raiders at 7, but that could push a Witherspoon down, and he's a very solid cover corner. You know, think Jair Alexander, that type. And if he's there at 11, then it's like, oh, wait a minute, that might be a pick that you make.
TD, Teron Davenport, appreciate you as always. We'll chat with you later.
For sure. Take it easy.
Awesome. Thanks, TD. Willie Donica's joined the mix. Willie D, how we doing?
I'm doing great, guys. It's interesting. We're playing tonight in the same venue as the Women's Final Four that just captured everything. What an amazing tournament. What an amazing Final Four. Your alma mater wins the whole thing. So I feel like I'm where the action is.
That you are.
That you are. Well, we will get into what Teron Davenport had to say there, plus what some NFL mock drafters think the Titans could do and the player that they would draft at that position. We'll get into that coming up next. Caroline Riley-DeMays, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.